But once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 21st year bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and provision. And most of all, for you, the listener, we thank the Lord for those of you who've been with us for many years. We appreciate you. We appreciate your support. And if you're listening today for the very first time and you've never heard this broadcast before, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with temptation, part two. And we started this series last week talking about temptation, and this is a big subject, as every single Christian, every single non-believer also has to deal with temptation, the schemes, the wiles of the evil one, the devil, as he tries to derail us and take us down. And so we're going to be looking at scripture today, see what the Bible says about dealing with temptation. If you have your Bible today, turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 3. We'll start. But once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to look at dealing with temptation, the second part of this series, here in just a minute. First, I want to give you an update what's going on in the ministry in Africa. We're in the long rain season, and so it's raining three or four times a week. We've got all of our crops planted, about 5 or 6 acres of crops, maize and beans, all kinds of vegetables, sugarcane, and so we're very thankful for the rains, and we thank the Lord for the rains here in Kansas too. We pray for more along that line. Also, we want to talk about the primary school we're building there in Makunda Village, right next door to the children's home. We have an acre of land, and we're building a primary school for 200 to 300 students, and many of these students will be from the Muslim faith, and so we encourage you to help us get that school built. It's going to be for teaching the basic education, ABCs of basic education, but it will also be an evangelism outreach, because we're going to talk about Jesus, sing songs about Jesus, and it will be an atmosphere of a Christian school. All the policies and procedures will come forth with that in mind, that we are a Christian school, and we're going to be giving these students an opportunity, many of them, to hear about Jesus for the first time. So if you're interested, contact me for details, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I can get you more details, drawings of the project, and let you know that we need you, we want you to come alongside and help us build that school. Well, today we're going to be talking about dealing with temptation, part two. We started this last week, and so this will be a continuation of a major subject in the Bible. Really, it boils down to spiritual warfare, and it goes back to the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. The first couple, the first two people on the earth, dealt with temptation, and the devil came to Eve and said, God didn't really say, and he started to challenge the instructions of God, the wisdom of God, and he came to Eve and caught her in her weakness, caught her in her time when Adam wasn't around her, and so he said, God didn't really say, so he was challenging God and his word and challenging the instructions that God had given to Eve. And so the culmination of that, as we all know, was Eve then agreed with the devil. She gave in to temptation. She agreed with the devil. She took from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because she took from it, then her eyes were opened, and she gave Adam the fruit. He ate of it. Their eyes were opened, and they knew then that they knew about evil. They knew that they were naked. They were exposed, and since that time, we have dealt in the fallen world, and the battlefield for our soul, the battlefield for our destiny, the battlefield for our calling and our walk with the Lord starts in the mind. And that's what the devil always tries to do, is come. He comes, calls God a liar. He comes and challenges the instruction and the wisdom of God in our life. And so if he can get us to agree with his program, get us to agree with the challenges that he gives us, then we will fall, then we will walk into the kingdom of darkness and not stay walking in the kingdom of light. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 talks about this battlefield in the mind. The devil can put thoughts in our mind, and that's what he does. So Paul talks about this. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the baby believers there in Corinth. And he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." In other words, he's saying, even though we are fleshly creatures, when we look at each other, we see the strength of our flesh. We see that we are fleshly creatures. Paul says, we don't war in the flesh. We don't war against the devil in the flesh. We pull down the devil's programs, the devil's plans. We pull them down with weapons that are not fleshly. We pull them down with weapons that are spiritual in nature. Verse 4 again, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive," or into captivity, "to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And so Paul is saying that when the devil brings thoughts into your mind, or puts thoughts into your mind, that you have to pull these arguments down, you have to pull these thoughts down as quickly as he puts them into your mind. Well, first you have to know what the will of God is, and you find out and you learn about the will of God. There's several different ways that happens. You primarily learn about the will of God, studying his word, studying his holy word every single day. You should be in the Bible. You should be reading God's word so that you know what God's will for your life is, so that when the devil puts thoughts in your mind or presents thoughts to put in your mind, you know whether it is against the Word of God. And so we have the Holy Spirit for you born-again believers out there. You have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of the living God, the Paraclete, the Counselor, he will be with you and in you. And so you have the Spirit of God giving you counsel whenever thoughts are presented to you from the demonic realm. And so the Spirit of God will say, no, that doesn't jive. That doesn't appear to be something that God would have you to do. That doesn't appear to be something that God would desire for your life, to keep your destiny intact, keep your destiny and your calling going. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us. And so Paul goes back then. Paul again says that we pull down strongholds and we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive or into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you remember from last week, what we talked about was the temptation of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 4, and I suggest you go back and you read that chapter, Matthew chapter 4. There was three ways that the devil tried to tempt Jesus, to get him to fall, to take him out of his destiny. There was three ways, and the last way, the devil showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world. Well, the devil is the ruler of this world. If you think about it, all the kingdoms of the world, all of the trafficking, the drug trafficking, sex trafficking, the murderous ways of the devil, all of the thieving, murderous ways that the devil has conceived to steal people's joy, to steal their money, to steal everything that they have, and to torment them and torture them. This is all from the devil. But God has given us a plan for our life, and that plan is unveiled. It is given to us and presented to us in His holy word. And so we have to be able to pull down every single thought that the devil presents against us. And that's what Jesus did when the devil gave him the opportunity to serve the devil so that Jesus could have every kingdom of the world under his control. Jesus said, "You shall not bow down to any other gods. You shall worship Jehovah God. You shall worship the one and only true God and serve him only." And so you have to get to know that one and only true God, Jehovah God, the one that you pledge your life to and commit your life to when you are saved, when you are baptized. And so that is the plan of God for your life, that you serve him, that you worship him. And another note about Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, in all three ways that the devil tempted him, Jesus quoted scripture back to the devil. Jesus quoted scripture and took down those arguments, cast them down as quickly as they were presented to him. He cast them down with scripture, and he spoke that word against the devil, because the word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide asunder between the bones and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, and even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God in your heart separates the vile or the profane from that which is pure and honorable. The word of God in your heart elevates you. It cuts out between the soul and the spirit. It cuts out the soulish things in your life that you get attached to in your daily walk. It cuts them out so that the spirit in you that wants to communicate with God, that spirit in you, then is in pure communication and righteous and wholesome communication with God and the things of God. And so Paul again says, take every thought captive and be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, another aspect of temptation, the devil will tempt you in areas which you are weak. Well, if you think about your family, maybe sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and just write things that you see in your family, and especially if you are an elderly person, you can look back at your time and look back at your family, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your grandparents, even great-grandparents, if you know about their history, and think about all the ways that they either served the Lord, that they were able to accomplish things for the kingdom of God, or vice versa, they fell to temptation, and they were not able to serve the Lord. They were not able to accomplish things for the kingdom of God. You just write those things down, and you can see then that the devil comes to you in areas which you're weak. And we know the old saying that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, many people, then they are familiar with the demonic schemes that were also the same demonic schemes that their parents were familiar with and that their grandparents were familiar with. The devil knows the weaknesses in families. The demons track individual families, individual villages, individual cities and states. And we're going to talk about that later as we get into spiritual warfare. But the devil has his demons. They are territorial in nature, and they will track families, they will track villages, they will track territories. And so you have to deal with the same things primarily that your parents dealt with and the people of your culture, the people of your village and your territory dealt with. And so Paul says about tempted in areas in which you were weak. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And then in verse 34, he says, "Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God." Well, when you think about people that go into rehab for alcohol or drug treatment, one of the main things that they tell them when they hang up their cup down there at the treatment center, one of the main things they tell them is, do not go back and associate and hang out with the same people in the same places that you hung out before, that brought you into this place of addiction, that brought you into this place of succumbing to temptation. When you hang out or fellowship with people who have no knowledge of God, and that's what Paul says. He says, stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. Well, if you have knowledge of God and you have been taught, either through reading the Bible or listening to a preacher or some way, being in church, you've been taught that knowledge of God is power, that knowledge of God gives you the power to resist temptation, to tear down strongholds. And if you have been taught that, then you know that when you go back and associate with people who have no knowledge of God and people who have no desire to fulfill a God-given destiny, that you're going to associate with them to your own peril. You will be falling. You will go right back into the same things that brought you to that place of destruction. You'll go right back into the same things. And all of the time you spent at the rehab center, or all the time you spent trying to get away from the temptations of the devil, you're going to go right back into those temptations when you associate and fellowship with people who have no knowledge of God. And so, going back to 1 Corinthians 10:3, when Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, let's just talk for a minute about those weapons. Primarily, I see the weapons to be four things, and you can write these down. There's four primary weapons that help us break the back of the enemy, help us deal with temptation in our life. The first is, we talked about it a little bit already, you need to be in the Bible every single day. If you don't have time to read a whole chapter or several chapters, just read a few scriptures, a few individual verses every single day. And it would be great if you could read a whole chapter in the Bible. It'd be great if you could read through the whole Bible every single year. I do that. I've been doing it for many years, probably 25, 30 years, been reading through the Bible every single year, and I think that would be good for you. So that's the first weapon that we have, because the Bible, when you plant the words of God in your heart, you have, just like Jesus spoke the Bible, spoke the words of the Bible back to the devil when Jesus was tempted, you have ammunition, you have the words of God to speak to the devil when he tempts you. Not only that, you know when the devil tries to tempt you, you know whether that idea, those words that the devil is presenting to you, you know if they come from God or not, because your knowledge of the Word of God will instruct you, along with the Holy Spirit. Your knowledge of the Word of God will instruct you as to whether the devil is giving you the truth or if it's just another lie painted up as the truth. The second weapon that we have is prayer. Every single day you should spend time in your secret place. In your secret place. Get off by yourself. Maybe if you don't have time in the morning, do it at night before you go to bed, but preferably in the morning. Get up early. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer. Pray for your own needs. That's okay. Pray for people in your family. Pray for your country. pray for the weaknesses that you have. And when you spend time in prayer, you're communicating with God. You're positioning yourself before God, and you're humbling yourself with prayer and supplication, a plea for mercy. You're humbling yourself before God, and you're saying, God, I trust you. I'm leaning on you. I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm leaning on you. And so when you pray every single day, you start to have a close, intimate relationship with God. And that prayer then is the basis and the foundation, along with studying the Word of God. That prayer is the foundation for your daily walk with the Lord. Well, the third thing in terms of weapons that we have is the fellowship. It's very important, beloved. If you're a baby believer, if you're a new Christian, maybe you're coming out of rehab, maybe you're coming out of prison or jail. It's very important that you get into a fellowship and you establish relationships with other believers. It is extremely important. It is, I would say, critical. It is God's will. Hebrews 10:25, Apostle Paul says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints, and so much more as the end day draws near, because God wants us to be in fellowship with other saints so we can be encouraged. We can pray for them. They can pray for us. They can encourage us in our walk. They can hold us accountable when they see us start to fall or succumb to temptation. And so it is very important that you be in a fellowship. Yes, churches have problems. Yes, churches are not perfect. There's no church on the face of the earth that is perfect. There's no pastor that is perfect. We're all human beings. We're all on this earth with the same issues, the same problems that you have coming into the church for the first time. But be there and start to associate with other believers so that you can be encouraged and you can have people to stand with you and to pray with you and to help you get through the trials of your life. The fourth thing that I think is very important is you spend time in worship. And by worship, I mean spend time being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God, it can be worship music, which is wonderful, opens up avenues into your heart, opens up ways into your heart so the Word of God and the presence of God can penetrate into your life. And worship is very important, either corporate worship or individual private worship. Get your phone filled up with worship music, different apps and different programs on your phone. Also, spend time in worship when you are with the body of Christ, when you have an opportunity to worship with the body of Christ in the fellowship. There's always time of worship, so spend time in worship and be in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Well, Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, he talks about the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, one of the ways, as we just talked, of renewing your mind every day is to spend time in God's Word, spend time focused on God. And when you are in this world, maybe you have a job that you're around a lot of people that swear all the time, or your job is not a desirable job in terms of keeping you walking with the Lord, you have to spend time in God's Word. You have to spend time in prayer even before you go to work. Get your mind ready so that you don't start to act like them of the world. You don't start to talk like them of the world. And so you renew your mind every single day, that you may prove what the will of God is, that you are a testimony to the people you're working with. You are a testimony to your family. You're a testimony to your children. You're a testimony to the people that you are in fellowship. And when the end of your life comes, you are a testimony to the life and the time that you spent here on the earth. You're a testimony to the people then of your family, your community, your state. You're a testimony to them of what God meant to you, what your salvation meant to you, and how you impacted the place where God placed you on this earth. Beloved, that is a life well lived, and it is a life that when you get to heaven, God will say to you, "Come in, my good and faithful servant. I've prepared a place for you. You are welcome in this place." Well, that is dealing with temptation. We're going to look at it next week also and lead into spiritual warfare, because basically all temptation has to do with spiritual warfare. So next week we're going to go into that subject of spiritual warfare and talk about some of the aspects of spiritual warfare in our life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all of the many prayers and provision that have been sent to us over the many years, and we praise God for the many years that we can keep going, and we invite you to help pay for these broadcasts. Help us with your support to keep these broadcasts coming, and also the good projects we have going in Africa, the school and the children's home, the churches, all that we're doing in Africa. We invite you to support us, be part of that. As you sow, we can harvest. As you sow, we can go to the field. And so we thank the Lord for your support. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can also use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. That's paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. Check us out on Facebook. See pictures of the ministry there. We'd love to hear from you. We are a 501c3 ministry, nonprofit. All of your donations are tax deductible. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.